youth leader, him and his wife, and all their kids and everybody. Mark run the PA set, and I had a tendency to never have enough fire on my mic. So every Sunday morning, he dreaded to come because I'd get to preaching, and I'd say, "Give me some fire on this mic." And you all remember that, don't you? Oh, yeah, yeah. And it got a little loud, but we was kind of enjoying church like you do in this place. And I honor Pastor Sam and his wife, Ruth, tremendous. And I've grown to love his daughter and his daughter's husband, Benaiah. Tremendous young people. And we just love this church and the tremendous work that's been done here. I want to start in tonight because I want to be brief as I can. And if you have your Bibles, you may turn with me tonight to the book of Joshua. Joshua 3:3. And let's begin our lesson tonight there. I believe this is a time that we're living is very serious. I celebrated 71 years in the ministry just recently, and my heart is rejoicing over what God's doing. And I talk with Pastor quite often, and the things that God's doing through this work is outstanding. But my heart is made sad. I'm tonight not just jumping and saying amen, not because I'm not happy, not because I'm not on the way to heaven, not because I don't love the Lord, but I see what's happening to our nation. And it's not our nation's fault, because the scripture teaches us that judgment begins at the house of God. And it's not as Washington goes, it's not as the Republicans go, it's not as the Democrats go, it's not as Congress goes, but it's as the church goes. It's how our nation is going to go. And I've lived a long time and preached a lot of in 32 countries of the world and pastored a lot of churches, but my heart's heavy tonight to deliver this word. And I trust that you won't take it as a harsh word. I still have something in my spirit that wants to take care of the sheep as a pastor. But there may be some things that seem a little bit sharp. But did you know that God is bringing us to a place that he's demanding certain things? And sometimes I'm finding out that I wasn't completely free from some of the things that God demanded. And I'm being required of the Holy Spirit every day to examine myself. So let's look at Joshua 3:3. And they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God," I want you to say this. What they're really saying here, if you want to paraphrase it, when you see the anointing of the Holy Spirit, come on, pray, preach with me. We could paraphrase it that way. When you see the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the priests bearing it, and we could say it this way, when you see the Lord begin to move. follow me now. When you see the Holy Spirit, and when you see the Holy Spirit begin to move, do what? Follow it. Woo! I'll tell you what. I grew up, whenever preachers preached, they demanded at the end of their message that you followed what they preached. We used to have a real good friend. He was a good preacher, but when he would preach, his altar call would run an hour and a half. He would beg and beg and beg. And somebody said, he shouldn't be begging. But brother, he had a lot of people finally hit the altar. Brother, whenever the Spirit begins to move, it's time for us to follow it. And it's not always a feeling. It's not always a doodad running up and down the back of your neck. But many times it's a conviction of the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. I'm beginning to feel the Holy Spirit messing with me a bit tonight. Hallelujah. I believe this is a time that we begin to follow the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then there came an instruction. When you see all of this happen, when you see the priests begin to move with the Ark of the Covenant, when you see the priests, if I may paraphrase it, when you begin to see the priests move with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, an instruction came from the leadership. And they said, go after it. Somebody said, go after it. I remember at 12 years old, I was sweet on a little girl over in Nevada, Missouri. And they was having, there we go, Nancy said. And they was having a prayer meeting. And I went over there, and I was going over there. I had 25 cents in my pocket, and that by two Cokes and a bag of popcorn in the early 50s. And I went over there to see her. And I walked in there, and there was a Holy Ghost meeting going on. It wasn't no religiosity. There wasn't no man-made order. There wasn't no man-made design for that prayer meeting. There was just a bunch of sisters over there praying. And I could hear one of them in one corner saying, oh, God send the fire tonight. Oh, Lord, save the city of Nevada. And the water in Nevada, if you've ever been to Nevada, Missouri, the water is terrible. Smells like rotten eggs. And there was one woman back in the back said, oh, Lord, heal the rotten egg tomatoes or water. And they was praying, but I was there to see little Beverly. You all know what I mean. Don't act so. But they got me down to pray anyway. And they started praying. On the one side, one of them was praying, oh, God, empty him out, empty him out, empty him out. And another one was saying, Lord, fill him up, fill him up, fill him up. And I that went on for a while, and I wasn't a bit interested in their God at all. I wasn't a bit interested in their Holy Ghost at all. But all of a sudden, I stopped them right in the middle of it. Snot-nosed 12-year-old kid, thought I knew everything. I said, what in the world do you want me to do? Do you want God to empty me out, or do you want God to fill me up? Oh, Brother Jimmy, we want him to do both. We want him to empty you out of all the world and fill you up with his Spirit. And brother, I believe that's something we need to go after in this hour. We don't need another church that is dead and dry and operated by the flesh of man. But we need to go after a Spirit when it begins to move. Brother, they begin to pray, and I I began to feel that tingling of the Holy Spirit. How many know what I'm talking about? It's difficult for me to stand sometimes, but I determined tonight that I'm going to stand. I began to feel that tingling of the Holy Spirit. And pretty soon, my words wouldn't come out in English, and I began to speak in tongues. And the glory fell on that little prayer meeting. And brother, I'll tell you what, I never have been the same since. Whenever I come against the fire of hell, when I come against the devices of Satan, I just raise the power of the Holy Spirit against it, because it's been good for 70 some years, and brother, it's still good tonight. Whenever the Holy Spirit starts moving, go after it. Somebody say it, go after it. I never did go to school, but for one thing, that's to play basketball. I was afraid to ask my father for the money to buy a yearbook, and I never get one, but my precious pastor and brother-in-law, he called Dixon High School to get me a yearbook of the year I graduated, and they didn't have one, but he talked, you know, he's a talker. I don't know how he got Ruth to say yes, but he's a talker. He talked this little secretary in the Dixon High School to copy my 1956 yearbook. And on Christmas Eve, that thing came, and there is all of them pretty girls that I never did date. My God, what a blessing. And I've got a friend here tonight, and he wants me to bring that yearbook up to his restaurant, because he said he wants to look through it. He said, I want to see you in your basketball uniform, but I know he wants to see all them. Sorry, Twyla. But the thing that happened here, let me give you just an introduction. For 400 years, Israel had been in Egypt. 400 years, they hadn't had a tabernacle of their own. 400 years, they hadn't had a home of their own. But now they were at the final phase of going in and taking the country that God said was theirs. But there were some enemies that were in the way. And brother, when you come to that final fight, just before you get the victory, I'm going to tell you something. You better have a good anointing and a good presence of the Holy Ghost. You better go after something that's real and genuine and not man-made, something that's anointed of God, because the anointing of the Holy Ghost will break chains and shackles. I tell you what, I'm suspicious of these preachers that preach, we're going to teach you how to cope with problems and cope with how to break chains. I don't want to know how to cope with problems. I don't want to know how to cope with chains. I want to know how to break them. I want to know how to have the Holy Ghost come and break those chains and deliver me from my bondages, because I've got bondages yet. The devil tried. You see, the devil's been defeated, but he's still got a mouth. And he'll lie to you. And brother, we're being taught things in America that makes me shudder. It makes me sad. And so they were come to the Jordan. At the Jordan, they faced several things. Number one, it was a season for flooding. They couldn't get across the Jordan. It was flooded. Number two, there was the Bible names seven different ites, the Hittites, the Canaanites, Egyptites. But did you know that God named them and told Joshua, he said, every one of them, I will drive them out. My God, that gives me a Holy Ghost jolt when I hear the Holy Ghost. But there's something, a rabbi told me something in Israel. He said the reason that God named every one of these Hittites and these ites is because every one of them had a strength that was greater than Israel's. And Israel knew it. And when he said, I'm going to drive out the Hittites, Israel knew that the Hittites had a strength that they couldn't defeat. And so when he named the Hittites, the Canaanites, and all those ites, Israel was being told that all of their strengths don't mean nothing. But now the Holy Ghost is on the move. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I got out of that prayer meeting that I was talking about a while ago. I went to school, and I never was one to participate much. But I'll tell you what, that day I happened to know the lesson. And I stuck up my hand to answer the question that the teacher was asking. And I began to give an answer. And you know what came out of my mouth? Huntadamo shuntadamo kandadamo sundadamo kandai. In our little town of Dixon, they thought we were strange enough. But I went for 3 days before I could speak in English because I was so full of the Holy Ghost. We need a church full of the Holy Ghost. Not religiosity, not man-made ideas, not man-made decisions. We need somebody that is going to get a hold of what God's doing. I want you to say one more time, go after it. But before they was told to go after it, they was told something else. Remove from the place that you're in. There's a lot of people have got to remove from where they're at. Are you hearing me? They got to remove. You got to remove from your past. You got to remove for your unbelief. You got to remove from your procrastination. It's time to remove from your envy, your strife, your bitterness, your worry. You see, in Ezekiel 21, there's a very interesting story. There was fighting, if you want to go read the story, they was fighting over who had control of the land. And it's interesting, God finally stepped in and he said, I'm going to shake 3 times. He said, I'm going to shake. And he said, I'm going to give control. This was way before Jesus was born, but he says, I'm going to give control to him whose right it is to have it. Oh, I'm so glad that the Holy Ghost is in control in this hour. Man with their mammoth churches, man with their monies and their support of important people think they're in control. But God is going to have a people that's going to remove from where they're at and go after the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Alanava Shantara Mokanda. Yea, even my people, I would say unto thee that I am ready now, this hour, to do the supernatural. Think thou not that things will turn away from the righteous and the holy. Even as Eli was judged, I will judge those that had not respected and honored the presence of the Lord. But yea, I will honor those that will seek after me and will honor me and will seek my face, because I've declared in my word that if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven, seek my face, remove from the things that are hindering thee from receiving the best from me, and go after it, saith the Lord. And thou wilt see a turn in thy country and in thy life. Go, 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 go after it, saith the Lord, because the anointing of the Holy Spirit doth seek those that will follow him, saith the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. 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 We know whose right it is. And first, the right was given to Jesus through his death at Calvary. And then he gave that right to us. The Bible says that judgment, as I said a while ago, doesn't begin with the heathen. It begins with the house of God. And the thing that is disturbing me is there is not a respect for the presence of God in the house of the Lord. You box the Holy Ghost and you box him out. He will not be put in a box. We have come a long ways. And Israel had come a long ways. Canaan was just in front. They knew that there's only one way, and they was going to have to lean on the power and the majesty of the Holy Spirit. There was a time that I didn't really realize how much that I leaned on the Holy Spirit. But there's never a day goes by, but I don't speak in tongues. There's people that's supposedly been filled with the Holy Spirit that you ask them, when's the last time they had a prayer language? And they can't tell you. This is an hour that we get in love again with the moving of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to shock you with something in a minute that the Word of God teaches us concerning the Holy Ghost. We know that he's a companion. He's not a bird. He's not a it, but he is a person. And he cares, and he loves, and he guides. And brother, there's nothing like it when the Holy Spirit begins to move in a service and shakes things. I've seen men that were professional rejectors time after time. In 71 years and pastoring many churches and seeing my dad preach and many other, and my father-in-law preach, I've seen professional rejectors hold the back of their seat when the altar call was given. But when the Holy Ghost got a hold of them, oh my goodness, when the Holy Ghost got a hold of them, it shook them, and they shook loose and come crying to the altar. My first trip to the great country, Romania, I was thrown in a dirty, rat-infested, nasty jail for preaching the gospel. I had flew into Timișoara, Romania, and I got to Brother Daniel Matea's church, 1,000 people, late Sunday night because my plane was late. And when I walked in, I began to preach a message about the power of the Holy Spirit. And they brought a woman down there in a wheelchair, and they said, this woman's been in this wheelchair for 15 years. Can you pray for her? We want to see if this Holy, this is the way they put it, we want to see if this Holy Spirit can heal her. I said, Lord, I need your help. Because they told us that in every service in Romania at that time, there was Russian and communist spies in every single service. I laid my hands on that woman, and I can remember it. I could feel the powers of hell. My spirit was grieved, and I was old-fashioned afraid. I said, Holy Spirit, I need your help. And before I could talk myself out of it and tell her to come back tomorrow night and I'd fast and pray and see if we could get done, I just slapped my hands on her. She jumped out of that wheelchair and started shouting all over that church. Ran up and down that aisle speaking in some kind of, I don't know whether she's speaking in tongues or whether it was Romanian, I don't know. But there was a Russian, a communist spy, and when we got home to Brother Daniel Matea's house, he was on the answering machine, and we'd announced that we was going to preach in the streets. And he said, American can't preach in the street. He'll go to jail. I said, I want to preach in the street anyway. I got a Paul anointing on me. I said, I want to preach anyway. I preach in the street, and they come and got me and threw me in a rat-infested, dirty, nasty jail and left me. Brother, I didn't know whether I'd ever get out or not. But I'll tell you one thing. I began to seek God. I didn't call the United States Embassy and ask for a bunch of United States Marines to break me out. They weren't there. I didn't go to the halls of Montezuma and try to get help. I didn't go to some entity that the world had to try to receive help. I began to get on my knees in that rat-infested, dirty, nasty jailhouse with bars. And I thought, oh, God, I need help. I need help. And you know, in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, it talks about we don't know how to pray. And it says that the Holy Spirit will pray for us in intercession. And that word intercession there, hold on to your seats. That word intercession there is the only time that is not the intercession like we know, like intercessory prayer. But it is a Greek word that is only used one time in the New Testament. And that Greek word is hooper in tug, nishino. That's a big word for me to say. It's Greek, yeah. It's a Greek word. But you know what it means? It has the connotation of a rescue mission. I said it has the connotation of a rescue mission. And when you start speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit begins to put together a rescue mission. And no matter what your trouble is, and I believe with all my heart, I'm in that dirty, nasty, rotten cell, and all of a sudden I'm speaking in tongues and asking God to deliver me. I couldn't, and all of a sudden the phone rings. Oh, man, I like it when the Holy Ghost sends out a rescue mission. Hallelujah. Give me this. Hallelujah. I'm going to get over here on this side for a minute. I want to say one thing to you. Whenever the Holy Ghost starts moving, go after it. I want to say to this middle aisle, when the Holy Ghost starts moving, go after it. And you on the other side, when the Holy Ghost starts moving, go after it. Hallelujah. Oh, a rescue mission was put into operation, and the phone rang. And that guard, he couldn't speak English, but I can see him today. He went, fiend. I've had my daddy do that. And I knew what was coming. I knew what was coming. A patriotic day. He was going to lay on the stripes, and I was going to see the stars. Bing! And that's all he knew. That's all the best he could say in English. Bing! 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 And I went to the door. He opened the door, and out I walked. The Holy Ghost had been on a rescue mission. The Holy Ghost had hoopo and tug a shenan. That's kind of probably butchering Greek, but I've been known to butcher Greek before. But I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost put together a rescue mission. And I'll tell you, we're living in a world when you can depend upon your money, you can depend upon your religiosity. We know church protocol. We know hermeneutics, and we know eschatology, but we don't know Him. It's an hour that we need to recognize that it's the Almighty God that's running things in this hour, and the right to run things is His, and He's given that power to His people. And you and I, pastor preaches this morning, it belongs to us, and the devil has no chance. He's nothing but a bluff, and he's nothing but a lot of hot air. And the Holy Ghost will put together a rescue mission to deliver you from whatever you're in. Hallelujah.
excited. Most fancy clothes on in the world. I don't care if your hair is all messed up.
No, I'm gonna hold it.
Is knocking on some doors that'll go after what he's got. Can you say amen? Somebody say one more time, go after it. Israel was at their last chance. They'd been 400 years and nothing had helped them. Everything they tried, they couldn't get out of bondage, but they had their last chance. But you know what they did? They depended on going after what? The Holy Spirit. You got to respect what God's doing in this hour. Respect the presence of God and honor the presence of God. And when you do that, you're going to see a miracle. And when that little Russian, that little Romanian guard starts saying, "Fiend," I knew the Holy Ghost had put together a rescue mission. And I walked out like Paul and Silas out of the jailhouse. Do you know what it is to walk out of a rat-infested, dirty, nasty jailhouse just for preaching the gospel? I'm not even acquainting myself with Paul, but I know what it feels like. And I'm going to look Paul up and I'm going to say, "Paul, buddy, I know what you went through. But we're living in an hour that God is demanding that we lay down man-made methods and seek the leading of the Holy Spirit." I'll get more vile. I'm feeling something tonight. I can't preach like I used to. This might be my last message, but I want to deliver it to you. Go after it. Remove from where you're at. If you're in discouragement, remove and go after the anointing. If you're sick, remove from where you're at and go after it. But Eli, he didn't respect the presence of God. Saul, for 40 years, was a king, and he didn't respect the anointing. Did you know that the anointing was only 9 miles, and Saul never one time made an effort to go after it? One day's journey. Many of us live that close to the anointing, and we never go after it. We live 2 services, and we never show up. You're getting on my toes, preacher. The church in America is paralyzed between who we are and where we're to become, because the enemy's still got a mouth and he lies to us and he tells us things. But I'm here to tell you that God's still on the throne and he still works. But there's a gospel that I call the gospel of convenience. And it's been preached. It's a gospel that's been hatched in the pits of hell. And it's been preached in thousands of pulpits in America today. That's one good thing when you come to Sanctuary of Hope. You can hear the gospel. It's been preached. It's been taught. Sin is never mentioned. Iniquity is never mentioned. But God's got a people that want His presence, respect His presence. And there was a man that came after Saul. He was, the ironic thing was, Saul and David were both anointed by the same prophet, Samuel. What did Saul do with the anointing? What did David do with it? He used it. He said, I'm going after it. I'm going after it. He made a few mistakes, but he went and he got it because he knew that they could not fight the Philistines or nobody else without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'd rather hear a donkey bray than hear some preacher. I don't care how homiletic he was. I don't care how wordsmith he was. I'd rather hear a donkey bray all night long than somebody try to preach without the anointing. Because the anointing will break yokes. And if you're going to a church that your preacher's trying to tell you how to cope with your chains, run. You need somebody that's preaching, telling you how to break your chains. It's not a gospel of convenience. It's a gospel that sets men free. Sometimes it's not convenient. Sometimes you have to make a sacrifice. But I was in Israel with a friend of mine named Bill Wilcox, and we slipped over at midnight into Old Jerusalem. And in front of the King David Hotel, typically the place where David had danced before the Lord with all of his might when the ark came home. And me and Bill Wilcox said, we're going to dance. Now, it's a sight to behold when I dance. My church can tell you that. And we looked around and there was hundreds of people. David danced before the Lord with all of his might because the ark was coming home. Brother, we ought to every once in a while have a good old hold down, stomping good time right in church. Did you hear me? If we had a lot of things in our church in New York that needed to be corrected like every other church. But I'll tell you one thing, they know how to dance. At any given time, there was probably 50 to 100 people up on the floor dancing their heart out. Brother, every once in a while, you need to have an old-fashioned hoedown. Get you a fiddler and have a hoedown and dance. You don't need a fiddler. Just grab the Holy Ghost and say, give it. I'm going after you, Holy Spirit. You're the deliverer. You're going to organize a rescue squad. You're going to get me out of my condition. Woo! I wonder what would happen if this place exploded some night with everybody dancing. Better get your purse out of the way, women, because somebody's going to stomp over it. Hallelujah. You won't care if your hair gets messed up, Sister Finn. But we need to reverence the Spirit of God so much that, and we need to have, I believe this is one of the churches that you can say that the Spirit of God is reverenced in. I know it. I feel it. But I'll tell you, the reverence of the Spirit of God and the respect for the Holy Ghost would be so great that cancer can't stay there. Diabetes can't stay there. Hallelujah. Hell and all the demons can't stay there. If you got things happening in your life, it looks like every day the devil's after you, start praying in tongues at night. The next day the Holy Ghost will organize a rescue squad. Study Romans 8:6, and you'll find out that intercession there means it is a rescue mission of the Holy Spirit to rescue you in the time of need. Hallelujah. church is in love with the world. And the church is trying to substitute what Nashville does and what Hollywood does. But it don't get the job done. And the church has got two loves. A lot of churches have got a certain amount of love for the Lord, but they also got a love for the world. And they might say something like this: I can't sleep at night. I toss and I turn, losing sight of the lessons I've learned. I'm staring at the crossroads with only one concern: which bridge to cross and which bridge to burn. I'm asking you tonight, we're coming to a place. I may not have articulated it as well as I did when I was younger. My homiletics and hermeneutics and my baloney may not be as great as it used to be. But we have come to a crossroads. We're going to have to either cross it, one, and burn the other, or burn the other and cross the other. I suggest to you, you burn man-made ways and cross the bridge of the power of the Holy Ghost. Bow your heads. I'll tell you what the Lord spoke to me. How many, with eyes closed, I don't want to embarrass you. How many has had an infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life? Raise your hand. There's many here that hasn't. How many has had an infilling of the Spirit, but it's been a long time since you lay down on your bed at night and spoke in your prayer language? How many would like to pray in that prayer language and loose the anointing of the Holy Ghost in your life once again, like it used to be? Hallelujah. I want you to stand to your feet. And if you're one of those people, if you're one of those people that say, I need a refilling. It's been a long time since I've had a real busting loose of the baptism. I want you to get out of your seat and come right up front. Do it right now. I need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. It's been a long time since I've prayed in my prayer language. Maybe you've never had an infilling of the Holy Spirit, but you want to get that joy that it brings back in your life. If you are one of them, come on. And we're going to pray, and God's going to open some mouths, and we're going to hear some Holy Ghost language tonight. This is a Pentecostal church. You don't have to be ashamed. Hallelujah. You don't have to be ashamed. Hallelujah. Here comes a lady down. She's willing enough to make that confession. Here comes others. You say, I spent a long time since I've really spoken tongues. I've one time had an infilling. Come right over here, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or I've never had an infilling of the Holy Spirit, and I want it. I want everybody that's got an infilling of the Holy Spirit, start speaking in other tongues right now. Start speaking. Hallelujah. Go after it. 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 It's here tonight. Hallelujah. Go after it. I want some of my people over here to come up here, Brother Frank and Brother Mark and Sister Lydia, and just lay your hands on these people and ask God to loose them right now. Come on, let's speak in tongues. Let's see, we're glory producers. We're glory producers. As we speak these things, the glory starts falling. How tatbo shatarabo kandai. He andarabo shandarabo kandai. He akobo koti. Yandarabo shantarabo kandai. Hallelujah. Us here, this room fill up with Holy Ghost tongue talking. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Even if you have to mess up your hair, come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want you to turn to somebody and say, I want you to start using your gifting. Turn to them and say, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, start using your gifting. Go after it. Because Israel come to, they knew they only had one shot. 400 years they've been in bondage. But now they got a chance to go into their homeland. And now, what are they going to depend on? Not man, but the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Jailhouse can't keep the Holy Ghost out. Cancer can't stay in your body. Diabetes can't stay in your body. Trouble can't stay in your body. That professional husband that rejects the Holy Spirit, he can't keep from being saved. Hallelujah. The kids that you don't know where they're at, they're going to come home as you begin to pray. Hallelujah. They're going to wake up one morning and they're going to say, Daddy, can we come home? Mama, can we come home? Hallelujah. Raise your hands right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here comes some more people. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost starting to sweep over this place right now. I feel the Holy Ghost starting to sweep over this place right now. Hallelujah. 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 Remove from where you're at and go after it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My strength is given out. My voice is given out. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Sam. But I'm here to tell you that I will mess up Nancy's hair before the night's over.
Just continue to praise him for a minute, would you? Just raise your hand.